And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight with my usual co-host, Carlos, who is powering through it tonight to join us. But Carlos, I think that it'll be worth it because later on tonight, we're going to have an incredible interview coming
Absolutely.
Up. If you wanna take a moment to get away from your splitting headache and tell everybody what we've gotten lined up for them, I think that it will be, like I said, I think it'll be pretty worth it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Later on, you will hear arguably the greatest interview of the year, like at least top two, and it's not number two. A conversation with none other than Tampa Bay Rowdies midfielder, Lewis Hilton. We had to sit down with him just earlier this evening, and it was an absolute time, James. Really glad to have him. Provided a ton of great insight. I'm not going to spoil any of it, but really just provided a good light into how the season actually went. We've talked a lot about the ups and downs, a lot about the chaos, to put it lightly, that's happened this year. He shined a great light on that. So stick around for that. It will be an absolute time. James and I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lewis Hilton is somebody that has been with the Rowdies for as long as he has. He has seen ups and downs, as, you know, Rowdies fans would hope, a lot more ups, I would say. But there's a huge game coming up this weekend, and that's kind of where we ended things. That will be the only spoiler that I put out. But yeah, I really think that Lewis Hilton has not only, you know, a lot of knowledge about the game itself, but also knowledge about what it means to be at this organization and, you know, what it means to try and actually get through the playoffs where we are hopefully headed coming up here. So, Carlos, let's actually get into that now because we have a game to review, which I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time on, but also a game to preview that is a lot more important for us. So, this past weekend, the Rowdies won their final regular season game 3-2 over Louisville City. Thank you very much, Louisville. In our own standings, only the guest spot got a point, so very good for Santiago, I think it was, of RBLR Deportes, we should just point out. That puts the guest spot on 26 points, Eureka the producer on 24 points, Carlos on 22 points, and myself on lowly 19. I need to catch up. Now, we also have to preview, like I said, that first playoff game of the year for the Tampa Bay Rowdies against Birmingham Legion. We will be hosting that, so hopefully that gives us a little bit of an edge going into a game that might be surprisingly tough for us, and we'll get into that a little bit later, Carlos. Now, before we do anything else, I do want to say please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and every other major podcast platform that you use. And also, please follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, whatever social media you are in, so are we. Now, Carlos, if you could get us started on that quick recap, and we will move into a shorter questions and analysis segment this week.
Absolutely, absolutely. This past weekend, your Tampa Bay Rowdies played an interesting game against Louisville City FC. The last game of the regular season, we traveled over to Louisville and put in a fantastic performance, maybe surprisingly, question mark. I'll admit I was rather surprised by the level of intensity we played with, given it was the last game of the season and it didn't really mean a ton for the standings or anything else, really. But great momentum going into the playoffs. The lineup was Connor Sparrow in goal, Antley, Jordan Doherty, Kleeman, Lasso, and Guillen making up that back five. Then you had Hilton and Ekra in the midfield in front of them, as well as Lakava, Jennings, and J.J. Williams making up your main attacking unit. The Rowdy started off the game really quickly, to say the least. J.J. Williams scored what I believe was the fastest Rowdy's goal in history. Less than a minute in, I think it was 20 something seconds into the game, Kyle Jennings forced a turnover, ended right at JJ Williams's feet, finished in a fantastic fashion to put the Rowdies up 1-0 less than a minute into the game. Kleeman would actually get on the score sheet for Louisville in the 19th minute. It was an own goal that tied the game for Louisville in the 19th minute. But the Rowdies weren't done in that first half, James. They would score two more. Cal Jennings in the 36th minute and the 38th minute to take a 3-1 lead going into the half. Everything went pretty well for the Rowdies in that half. Second half was a bit slower, wasn't four goals, but there was one more goal just before the game wrapped up in the 92nd minute. A really nice Lancaster goal from outside the box. Lovely goal for Louisville to put them within one goal, but the game would finish 3-2 for the Rowdies. That finally puts the Rowdies at 63 points at the end of the season. Second place, 4 points out of first place, locked in that second seed. Definitely a good game to get some minutes for, you know, guys that were coming back from injury, see how match fit people were in what was a really intense game. Louisville definitely had a lot more to play for in terms of getting, you know, a higher seed, getting home field advantage. They weren't able to do any of that as the Rowdies came in and shut them down and, you know, got the offense going really early. That's the recap of the game, James. I guess we can spend a little bit of time chatting about what happened here. I'm curious. I'm just curious what you have to say here about this game, because honestly, this was the first game of the year that I actually predicted a loss for. Mm-hmm. I just figured we'd have some guys that have been injured for a while, let them get some minutes. In reality, I didn't really see much reason for this game in general to, you know, put out an insane lineup. But the Rowdies came out with a lineup, you know, their strongest lineup, but really the lineup you'd expect to see for any other game, the lineup that generally you expect to see for this weekend against Birmingham. JJ Williams, Cal Jennings just did their thing once again and put up 3 goals combined, 3 assists combined as well. So let's talk about that first half. Lots happened there. What did you see happen from your perspective?
I think that, like you said, the Rowdies did come out with a lot more intensity than I would have expected. It was also, you know, it was still a game of management, but the way that the game went, ultimately the management as it was making sure that in the second half, we kind of kept them out of it. I will note Freddie Kleeman is only the second Rowdy to score an own goal this season after Forrest Lasso did it a little while ago, but, you know, 2 own goals over the course of a season, I guess that's actually not that bad of a record ultimately. What do you say? If you get JJ Williams with a goal from Cal Jennings and then 2 Cal Jennings goals from JJ, that's incredible. And not only all of that, but Charlie Dennis, who is the third Rowdy to be in double digits for goals, he wasn't brought on until the second half in this game. He was actually brought on for Jan Ekra, but I think that's good, giving him what you could consider probably a little bit of a rest. At the same time, in the second half, they made a couple more substitutions, bringing on Jake Arman, Leo Fernandez, Ariel Martinez, and Sebastian Dalgard. Other than Ariel Martinez, those are all injury returnees. These are players that we need to build up their match fitness so that they are ready to go in the playoffs. Leo Fernandez is someone that we didn't expect to see this whole season, so the fact that we have him at all is crazy. And giving him a little bit more time to ease his way back into things, that could be, you know, maybe he turns into a super sub. I don't honestly know at this point because we just haven't seen the games yet. But yeah, it's great. I think that, in the first half in particular, though, it's if you look at the stats too, overall for the game, we did not have the possession. So that is something that you and I predicted, Carlos. We said that at the very least, the Rowdies would kind of let Louisville take the game to them. And at least in that sense, they did. But yeah, I think that it was just a very well played game from the Rowdies. They managed to avoid a lot of the mistakes that you and I have also noted from, you know, especially on the defensive side, I would say, over the course of the season. So that was positive too. It's a really good game to have right before you go into playoffs. You know, they give up a goal very late in the game, and that's something that you probably want to avoid. The Freddie Kleeman own goal, obviously there's that as well. But if you take out a very late goal in the game, which, you know, you can't necessarily take it out if it happens in the playoffs or anything like that, but if you do take that out, it is a very good performance overall, is all I really mean to say. So if that's something that, you know, you can chalk up to the late game, the late goal, that is, if you can chalk that up to, you know, at the end of it, it appears that the Rowdies have won. Maybe they're getting a little complacent, and that's probably not a word that they would want to use either. But I just think that ultimately it was very well managed. And Carlos, if you don't have any other, maybe you do, but the next thing that I was going to say, that we could go into our man of the match for this one.
Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute button there for a second. No, I mean, just overall, I think I want to say that I was, again, just pretty surprised with the intensity with which we came out to play. We had plenty of chances in that first half, by the way. It wasn't just the three goals. We actually hit the post in the 19th minute. Lacava had a really nice opportunity that just unfortunately hit the post and went wide. JJ Williams drew a penalty off of a corner, which he subsequently shot just over the bar. Early on in the 30th minute or so.
Yeah.
But right after that, I mean, we just kept going at them. And I was, again, just really surprised by that. Cal Jennings' goal in the 36th minute was lovely. It was typical of Cal Jennings. It was a long ball from Connor Sparrow, headed on from JJ Williams. Cal Jennings heads it on, gets it by the last Louisville defender, and just runs at the goalie, makes a little thing, you know, a little move, makes some space happen, and just buries it into the far corner. Just typical of what we've seen from him this year. It's been really, really great to have him obviously on the squad this year and have him find his form kind of as the season progressed. And it wasn't more than 2 minutes later when he would get on the score sheet again. JJ Williams involved again, finds him with a lovely pass, gets behind, you know, again, gets behind the entire Louisville back line and just makes something happen there. So it's been really great to see that connection continuing to bud. I think this was kind of the epitome of that. The Cal Jennings and JJ Williams connection, it was literally all three goals was either assisted to one of them by the other. So it was pretty interesting to see that happen. And again, it's kind of a great momentum builder to have those guys continue to score even on the last, like, you know, game of the season, game that doesn't really mean anything. To have them continue to keep up their goal scoring form is really, really good. So it's just funny because we could have literally been up 5-1 by the end of the half if we hadn't hit the post. We were a little bit luckier and JJ Williams buried his penalty. Like, it's crazy how well, I guess, we played offensively in that first half, despite kind of stepping off the ball a little bit and letting Louisville do their thing. I was really, really impressed by all of that and, you know, genuinely enjoyed looking back at this game because, again, we didn't really have much to play for, but Louisville was clearly desperate to, like, get points and get the win and climb up the table, get that home game for the playoffs. They had a lot more to play for. They were already in the playoffs, but they could have moved up the table had they gotten this W. And it looked like they were just incredibly frustrated. And admittedly, I enjoyed that. It was kind of funny to see them just getting so visibly upset. And the Rowdies are out there just kind of having fun at this point. Not much to play. So admittedly, I did enjoy Louisville's kind of suffering while we were just having a good time out there.
They're a rival team.
We see them a lot in the playoffs, right? And it's kind of become, I don't really like calling things rivalries, but we see them in big games. So this wasn't one of those big games for us, but it was nice to just have it be a big game for them and kind of spoil the party.
Yep.
So admittedly, I enjoyed that. And I was happy with how we played. Momentum wise, I think this is a game that came at a great time. You know, even though we couldn't climb up and get that first place spot, it was just a great way to end the season. And I think the boys are all clicking, especially on offense, going into this week against Birmingham. So could not be more excited for this weekend. I'm not going to say too much about this weekend until we get into that, but I think just Cal Jennings and JJ Williams just keep letting them do their thing. I mean, at this rate, like, if you just put them up there and make something happen, like, we just scored three goals against Louisville in the first half in Louisville, and we could have scored like five at least. So I'm really happy with everything, and yeah, I'm repeating myself at this point, but game came at a great time, and overall, second half, not much to talk about. Great goal from Louisville, by the way. Again, if you haven't seen it, go back and watch that. was a really nice goal, but at the end of the day, it was kind of garbage time. 92nd minute in stoppage time, nothing else to do after that. No more time to really make a comeback happen. So overall, happy with it all. And yeah, do you have anything on the second half, James? Was there anything of note to mention?
I don't really have a lot on the second half. I mean, as you said, the first half going as well as it did, where we could have almost scored five goals. I mean, you know, we had the three, and then I almost feel like what, there was a missed penalty? Like you kind of almost forget that just because of what did happen. Like, it's really positive, I think, on every note to head into the playoffs with that kind of game and those kind of minutes as well for everybody else that I was talking about earlier. So I don't really have too much for the second half other than those substitutions that I already mentioned. So I am all set on my end personally.
Cool. I think with that being said, we can just jump into the man of the match there. James.
All right. Well,
give us your man of the match. Yeah.
Yeah. My man of the match, I frequently allow Carlos to take the lead when it comes to people being man of the match because they were on the score sheet specifically. And normally I would, you know, look for a midfielder. I would look for a defender. As someone who was a defender at a very, 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 very low level growing up, I would say that that's where I usually tend to look. But this week, Carlos, I have to take a leaf out of your book and say, if you're on the score sheet three times, one of them is a goal, two times are for assists, then I've got to go with JJ Williams as my man of the match, because what else are you supposed to do? I assume, Carlos, I know who you're taking, but I have to go with JJ Williams for all of those. Even though possibly we could have had more goals, I will include him on this one.
Yeah, I mean, to have the type of performance he did while also missing a penalty is just kind of funny. There's a comedic value to that. He missed a penalty, he scored a goal and got another assist after that. Like, that's just crazy stuff, by the way. I just want to give a shout out to all the players that came in the second half, guys that have been injured a lot. I think it was really great to have them get some minutes. All of them put in decent performances. Was really happy by that. Was a little surprised Leo Fernandez didn't get more action, by the way. I'm afraid this might be a good game for that. See how match ready he is, but he got about 12 minutes at the end, so good for him. But my man of the match, I'm gonna take the easy one, like the other one, is Cal Jennings, just because I can't not pick him. He scored two goals and got an assist. JJ Williams was the reverse of that. He got two assists and a goal. Like, guys, I know it's an easy choice, and maybe there's value to be looking for other guys who, you know, contributed or whatever, but how can you not pick the two guys that literally were involved in all three goals?
Sometimes the easy choice is the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a great game. He's absolutely the definition of on fire right now, scoring goals like every other game at this point. Had a goal against Loudon 2 games ago. Had two goals against Memphis. I mean, he's literally scoring goals at least every other game. I'm looking back, there was a period earlier this month, earlier in September, sorry, where he had 6 goals in 5 games. Like, what are we doing here? Cal Jennings has just been absolute beast, especially towards the latter part of this year. And he's keeping up the great form against Louisville. So hopefully he keeps that up against Birmingham as well.
Yeah, I think as a Rowdies fan, that's pretty much all you can hope for, is that we have either to find Cal Jennings or to find JJ Williams, or if he's starting, then I guess we can lower ourselves to finding Charlie Dennis, whose 11 goals on the season is nothing to sneeze at. But Carlos, we've talked about this. This is the main segment that we actually want to get to. Let's just jump into it here. We've done our quick review of the Louisville City game. I think that that's all that we really needed to do, because everyone that is tuning in tonight, tomorrow, whenever they hear this, I suppose they might also be listening for the interview, but at the same time, anything that anybody wants to hear about has to do with the game coming up on Saturday. So let's get into that. The playoffs begin for the Rowdies this weekend at home, like I said, versus Birmingham Legion. Obviously, with the Rowdies finishing second, that means Legion were 7th in the East. That being said, they are no pushovers. They beat us both home and away this year. Kind of surprising looking back at it when you consider years past how it has gone, but yeah, that's the way that that's the way that it went over the course of 2023, at least. The first of those games was at the tail end of our dreadful start to the season and looked to be the best game that we had played up until that point. So that's stating quite a bit at that time. And then the second game was the Rowdies' first loss in 12 games after Neil Collins had pretty much left a week or two before. I don't remember exactly when it was, but very, very recently before that game. It was back and forth, but we couldn't score. And ultimately, that pest that we all know of, Enzo Martinez, he was the one who got the winning goal in that game. Now, the recent form is mixed with a draw, two losses, and two wins. So this could go a ton of ways. But we know a lot about their lineup at this point and a good bit of their tactics. We also know their strengths. Nico Brett, for instance, is one of those with 12 goals. Enzo Martinez, by the way, has 10 on the season. Enzo also has 7 assists so far. So he's obviously going to be very heavily involved in trying to get the ball to Nico Brett. Prosper Kasim has created the most chances and big chances this season with 49 chances and 11 big chances. That is according to our usual go-to FOTMob. He usually lines up on the right wing with Tyler Pascher, kind of switching between a left wing and a central midfielder where Enzo Martinez will start as the number 10 and then slide left or right. And yeah, those three have been pretty deadly with Colin Smith as the right back behind them or Gabriel Alves or Moses Menza as the left back. So yeah, those are going to be their main players going up and down the wings. Matt Van Okkel only has 4 clean sheets. However, we know he is good on penalties, and it should also be noted that Trevor Spangenberg has started several of their last games in net. I assume that it'll be Matt Van Okkel that we ultimately see, not only because he's good at penalties and this is a playoff game, but he did start, I believe, the very last game of the season for them, which they needed to win to maintain their points. Now, the Rowdies are close to full strength with injuries. We should obviously hope to cut out those defensive errors that we all know. But even though this is a winnable game, anything can happen on any given day. That is a very common truism in soccer. Carlos, what are you thinking about this game against Birmingham Legion? I don't know, you know, if we want to look at prior playoff games with Birmingham as anything to go off of. That would at least be good in terms of the results. But, you know, you can't really take that into consideration for, you know, something that hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, absolutely. It does seem to be occurring more often than not that we see them pretty early on in the playoffs at home. We have beat them, like you said, you mentioned, you alluded to this at least, that we played them twice already in the playoffs. Beat them both times, 4-2 back in 2020 and 1-0 back in 21. So, a team we've come to be relatively familiar with and in the playoffs as well. But it's a certainly really strong squad and by no means an easy 7-seed win at all. In fact, looking at all the teams in the playoffs, especially on the Eastern Conference, it's just up and down solid teams that I think will make it a pretty wide open playoff for anybody that can get into a good run of form here. Maybe with the exception of like Detroit that kind of barely snuck in. 1-7 is just an incredible lineup of really impressive teams.
Yeah.
And 8, I'll give Detroit a little bit of credit. But they needed Miami to lose and they got Miami to lose against Sacramento. So they got a little bit lucky at the end, admittedly. That being said, Birmingham is, like you said, no easy number 7 game. They have plenty of talent, and you just went through all of it right there very well. Enzo Martinez seems to always have our number in one way or another. I mentioned that kind of off the get-go when I saw we were playing Birmingham that we lost twice to them this season already. They were weird circumstances, as you said, for sure. That first loss at home was off of that really, really bad, slow stretch to start the year. Certainly wasn't a team with identity that it has today, the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So a different time, different team entirely. And that second loss was, like you said, it was actually exactly 1 week after Leo Collins' last game with the Rowdies. It was 1 week after that 3-0 win against Oakland. They went to Birmingham with interim head coach Stuart Dobson and lost It was a back and forth game, like you said, but Birmingham definitely had outplayed us. So yeah. It was a lot of turnover. It wasn't like excuses, sure, but certainly valid excuses, I would say, having such a major turnover halfway through the year, right? That's all to say, I feel like we have a pretty good chance this weekend at home. Again, it's against a good team, but we're playing at home and we are certainly a good team ourselves. We have a fantastic lineup and people are coming back from injury. Cal Jennings and JJ Williams are playing out of their mind right now. Charlie Dennis came off the bench. Like, that's crazy. Charlie Dennis has had a fantastic year as well. Like, we have so much talent that it seems to be clicking at the right time. So why not, be ready for a big run here from the Rowdies? But it starts with one game against Birmingham Legion. I'm feeling pretty good. James, should we jump into the predictions?
I mean, that's all we got left, right? We gotta do those predictions at some point. Our guest prediction will be coming on later to give his, but Carlos, why don't you get us started? Because I'm still figuring mine out.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a 3-1 win for the Rowdies at home. Just coming off this performance against a Louisville side that's, frankly, even a little bit better than the Birmingham side we're playing this weekend. We did it away, and we just had a fantastic performance in a game where, again, we didn't really have anything to play for. So just, like, taking that into account and the momentum from this past weekend, I feel like we're just kind of riding a high wave right now. This is a game where we certainly will be coming out with the intensity, maybe more intensity than we did against Louisville, which seems hard to do. But we actually have something to play for this time, because if we lose, it means a lot more than if we had lost to Louisville. So I don't see why Cal Jennings and JJ Williams can't continue their good run of form here against Birmingham. Birmingham's coming off of a loss against a good Charleston side. Certainly a tough match away to Charleston. We actually lost that one as well. Their game for that was a 2-0 win against Monterey Bay. Before that, a 2-1 win against Memphis away. And the game before that was a 2-0 loss at home to Miami. And they drew against Memphis. They lost to RGV. Like, this is a team that'll put up a good performance every once in a while and then just drop points and take losses against bad teams, like RGV. Like, so I think given their relatively lately inconsistency, despite how good of a team they are, I just feel pretty good about where we are. And just on paper, the talent matches up really, really well in our favor. And then you take into account the external factors, playing at home. We're riding a really great momentum wave. I feel pretty good just about how this game's going to go, and I think our offense should be clicking. So I'm going to take a 3-1 win, but it certainly won't be an easy win. Again, Birmingham's going to be a fantastic side to play against. It'll be a good game. It'll be close. I'm just feeling that score line in particular. Maybe it's one of those games where we're up 2-1, and we get that third goal in stoppage time, just to kind of put the nail in the coffin. Garbage time goal, we can say. 3-1 goal, 3-1 win will be my prediction. And I'll just say Kyle Jennings and JJ Williams score all three. Like, I don't know, pick your distribution of how that happens, but it just seems to be likely given how they're playing.
All right, well, I do like that in terms of a result. Now, out of nowhere, I've got an inkling, and my inklings have not been known to be very accurate, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I'm predicting a 1-1 draw and then win on penalties, so that is what I'm going to go with. Producer Eureka, has gone with a 2-0 win for the Rowdies, so all positive there. And like I said, our guest will be giving the guest appearance for this, actually for the whole episode, but also they will be giving the guest prediction. That is Kaylor Hodges. He does the podcast for Birmingham, well, not specifically for Birmingham Legion, but he does cover Birmingham Legion, obviously, on the Hammering Down podcast. So he will be on here in a little bit. But before then, Carlos, we have to include the interview that we just had with Lewis Hilton that I'm sure everyone is also waiting to hear, because it is always great to hear from Rowdies players. So yeah, please stay tuned now for our interview with Lewis Hilton. Well, as stated, we teased a big interview in the early part of this episode, and here it is. We have Lewis Hilton from the Tampa Bay Rowdies joining us. Thank you, Lewis Hilton, for coming on the show. We obviously really appreciate it. Yeah, no worries. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we are more than happy to have you on at this point. I think that there are a lot of fans who want to hear, you know, not just about the playoffs, but also about, you know, how this whole season has gone. Let's get started before we get into the playoffs, because that is obviously a very pressing matter. But let's get started first with, you know, how the season went for you. I know that obviously it was probably disappointing at times. If you could walk us through how it was, you know, in the beginning of the season, and then kind of with the injuries you were dealing with. I don't think that everybody knows exactly what was going on in that sense. So, yeah, if you could give us all just a little bit of a brief overview.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, honestly, probably the toughest year that I've had football-wise in my life, to be honest. It was, quite a challenge. So it was actually our last preseason game against USF. We played at Waters, and I just got like a heavy kind of challenge, like 50-50 type thing at the end of the first half. And I originally just kind of thought it was like an ankle sprain, and my ankle had like swollen up a bit. But during that week, I was able to like rest leading into the Indy game. And me being me, I just play every minute, and I'm like, oh, I can just fight through it and the ankle will be all right for the next week, and just kind of strapped it up and got through a couple training sessions at the end of that week. And when the off season's so long and you get that first game, especially it being at home, it's like I was just so desperate to play, and I kind of tried to give it a go. And I knew within a minute of kickoff, I felt my ankle, and I was like, yeah, that's not right. And I don't know if it was 5 minutes in, I had to come off. And then at that point, we just assumed it was like still just like a bad ankle sprain. So I had like a couple of weeks off. I missed the Orange County game and the Charleston game. And then I come back for a couple games, and I'm able to like kind of hobble through games. I probably wasn't playing my best, and everyone probably saw that. And but the team was kind of struggling at the start as well. So I was like, I wanted to kind of be there and be able to contribute, and obviously got a really good relationship with Neil, and I wanted to help him. And I know the team needed some help, and I wanted to do that. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to like get rid of this pain in my ankle. So I ended up having more scans, and I actually had like a 50% tear in the peroneal tendon that runs down the outside of your ankle. It kind of wraps around your ankle bone, and half of the tendon was kind of flipping over my ankle bone. It's kind of graphic, but
good description.
So, and obviously I had to have like, I think 5 or 6 weeks off. The plan was just to rest and see whether the tendon kind of healed on its own. I had like five weeks off, but tried to come back into training, and the pain was kind of the exact same as it was, and there was no improvement. So then the kind of last option was to get surgery, and ended up getting that done. And that was a 12-week recovery process from there. So yeah, it was a tough time. And obviously I know we have other guys go through it. Leo's injury, obviously like is a lot worse injury than mine. Tearing your Achilles is a super tough one. It doesn't get too much worse, but, I guess for him, once he did that, he had surgery kind of 4 days later, and he knew his kind of path to recovery, and he's absolutely smashed it, and he's done unbelievably well, and he's looking really good in training these last couple of weeks as well. So that's a massive boost to have him back. But yeah, I kind of found it tough because it was 1 week I was going to try and play, and then the next week it wasn't feeling good. And then I missed a couple weeks, and then I was out for a long time. And then I was hoping, I was like, all right, I'm past it now. I'll hopefully get back. And then finding out you have to have surgery. And this is the first injury that I've actually had. I think I missed 4 games in my whole career before this. So yeah, it was a tough one to take mentally, just kind of with all the unknowns, but happy to be involved. And at one point I didn't think I kind of would be playing this season, so any games that I could get at the tail end and just to help the team, like I'm just so grateful. And
just like super happy just to be involved at this point.
Yeah, I understand that. And, you know, from a fan's perspective, especially having a player of your quality again, you know, in the side, I think that players have filled in certainly very well. But at the same time, it's always good to have someone like you back in the team. It's always those USF Bulls, though, isn't it? I guess that we've got to keep an eye out on them. But I'll turn it over to you, Carlos, now.
Yeah, Lewis, thanks again for joining us. I appreciate your time and providing us some good insight there about what you were going through. I think a lot of people miss – oh, there goes the camera. I think a lot of people miss the human aspect of what happens when they see, you know, an athlete on their team gets injured. So I think we can all appreciate that insight a little bit. I want to ask you, you know, obviously I think we can characterize this season with words like a lot of turnover, inconsistency and like lineups and injuries and everything. And I want to get to that in a second. But first of all, I just want to continue on that human aspect for a second before we get into any of that. What was it like stepping back on the field for an extended period of time? You had that start against Hartford at home, September 2nd, after games coming in and out, trying to see what happens. And, you know, I stopped by a training one session over the summer. And I saw all these guys injured, talking to Jake. I'm like, what's the timeline on some of these guys? And, you know, Lewis, Leo, Deion Harris was injured for a little bit as well. And it was just, it seemed like a lot of guys were picking up injuries. So I just want to ask you, as a player, as a person, what was it like finally being able to overcome that and step on the field and you know, get a start for the Rowdies again this year?
Yeah. I think anyone that knows me just knows how much I love playing. Training every day and competing and I love winning and being part of the Rowdies. You get to do that quite often. So to kind of have that all time kind of taken away, and it's always been my life. Like, my life kind of depends on us winning on the weekend and how well I train during the week. And when you haven't got that, it's like, yeah, it's really hard to deal with, because yeah, for a long period there, I didn't really know what kind of my purpose was. Each day I was going in, like, doing my recovery stuff and working as hard as I can, but I wasn't contributing anything to the team. So yeah, it's definitely tough. And yeah, kind of opened my eyes to what it's like for guys being injured. And like I said, I hadn't been through that. But yeah, to get back on the field, although I didn't quite feel my best still at this point, but yeah, just to be back on the field competing and yeah, just being out there with the boys, being able to prepare for games during the week and being in the locker room, like, ready to go out with the lads. It's like, yeah, that's what I kind of live for. And yeah, I get a massive buzz on game days. So yeah, it's this kind of year has kind of made me value that even more than I think anyone that knew me anyway knows how much it means to me. But to have that taken away for long periods, it's just made me value it even more. And just to take every minute I get on the field is just to try and enjoy it and make the most of it.
Absolutely. And you mentioned this kind of year kind of being a bit different for everybody. Let's talk about that for a second. Obviously, you know, you had USL Coach of the Year, Neil Collins, depart halfway through the season. Got a great opportunity over in Barnsley. Did pretty well, by the way. I'm sure everybody's been keeping up. So good for him over there. Had a couple games with an interim head coach. Nicky Law comes in. A couple more games where he's, I believe, in England figuring out some work issues there and you know, some more interim head coach like sessions. And you know, just a ton of players injured, particularly in your area of the field, Lewis. I mean, we had Zach Erivo pick up an injury really early on this year. Jordan Doherty's been kind of an Iron Man. In the middle and on the back line. So I just want to ask you about the mentality of the team through all of this turnover, players coming in and out. You know, Ryan Spalding was here for a while earlier this year. He was a huge part of the team and, you know, had to go back to New England. You had Lawrence Weich show up for a game, a quick blast from the past, and then dipped again. So just a lot of turnover throughout the whole year. What's the mentality of the team throughout all that turnover, switching coaches and really, I'm just curious about how we got through so many games with like three players on the bench.
Yeah. No, honestly, like, yeah, I don't think the team and the club has kind of got enough credit for how well they've dealt with this year. I think we've kind of just gone under the radar that, like, I mean, although we've finished second, if we would have, obviously I would have loved to have that Pittsburgh game back, but to just be in the position with two games to go to be potential regular season winners, like with everything that have happened this year, just kind of just shows the strength and the culture that we've kind of had here for probably since Neil took over, and Neil kind of built that. And obviously it was only a matter of time, I think, before he chose a bigger, better opportunity, because he fully deserved it. But it kind of just shows that the culture kind of stayed the same, and no matter who was playing, that kind of winning mentality and the culture and the different attributes that we kind of pride ourselves on just stayed the same. And yeah, the group of players deserve such credit on all the injuries, all the things we've had to deal with. Yeah, like you say, even since Neil's gone, Nicky's come in and he's had to leave, and then we've got different interim managers. Dobbo gets sent off for a game. We have one coach on the bench, and then we get more injuries. Yeah. It's just been like never ending. And I think Nico has done an unbelievable job, like trying to make sure he's doing everything he can to control as much as we can. And the players have done unbelievably well, like just grinding through that period. And yeah, just the position that we put ourselves in at the end of the season, looking back at all the things that had happened. Yeah, I just think it's unbelievable. And yeah, it's been a roller coaster of a year. But if you look back and the position we ended, obviously we're so disappointed not to be that number one seed. But I still think that it's been an incredible season, given all the adversity that we faced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate the insight. Again, it's just been a crazy year. And James and I have talked about that week in and week out. I feel like there's always something going on this year. But again, I think it's a testament to the entire mentality of the team that, like you said, we were in that position to fight for that first place spot. And yeah, so I think with that being said, we're looking forward for this weekend. And James, do you want to take over from here? Big game coming up this weekend, I've heard.
Yeah, that's pretty true. We obviously do have our first playoff game coming up this weekend, and we are hosting Birmingham Legion. Now, Lewis, I forget if you were able to take part in the first game. I don't think you were able to take part in the second game against Birmingham, but while I was doing the preview, the written preview for this upcoming playoff game, I noted that obviously Birmingham Legion had actually beat us both home and away this season. We have not scored against them this year. It's actually, you know, well, it's certainly very different from past years, I'll say. What is the mentality trying to specifically go into Birmingham Legion? I assume, obviously, you know, if it kind of goes back to that, if the Rowdies play their game, then they can win. And I certainly believe that based on the way that this whole season has gone. But at the same time, Birmingham seems to possibly, you know, have their own game that works in this case. And, you know, I don't know how much of a psychological advantage there is or isn't in this case. So if you could give us a player's perspective on that as well, and how you prepare for an opponent like this, I assume you don't want to get into any tactical discussions or anything like that, but anything beyond that, that fans can take away from this, I assume would be very valuable.
Yeah, no, and I think just go back on kind of what we were talking about. I think the first time we played Birmingham, we had, again, I think it was maybe fourth or fifth game of the season. And that was a period where we were struggling, and obviously so many new guys coming in this season. It took a while for us to find our stride. I think probably up until 9-10 games, until we went on that unbelievable unbeaten streak, just winning after wins. Yeah. And we played Birmingham during that period where we were still kind of figuring ourselves out. And then I think the second time we played Birmingham was one of those games right after Neil left. And it was kind of a similar type thing that everyone was kind of Nicky hadn't been named as the coach yet. And a lot of people, all the players, of course, we were trying to focus on just doing our jobs. But when you don't have that clear leadership, it's tough. So not to make excuses, but to play those games under those conditions just adds extra challenges. But I think the team's in a really good spot. right now. A really good performance and win against Louisville, which I think has given us a lot of belief going into this weekend. And yeah, we've been here the last 3 years, leading into the playoffs, and we've got a lot of guys that have experience in these games. And Birmingham, a really good team. I've got a few former teammates that play for them, super talented, and I'm actually surprised that they're a seventh seed and not higher, to be honest. But we know it's going to be tough, and they're going to give us a lot of challenges. But as always, especially playing at Ao Lang, we're going to try and be on the front foot. We're going to, with the ball out, without the ball, we'll try and get after them and just try and play our game. And of course, you've always got to prepare for opposition, but ultimately it's about us, and we know the talent that we have on the team and the guys that can make things happen. And we always believe, no matter who we play, that we're going to go and win the game, whether it's at home, whether it's away, regardless of who we play in this league. We're confident that we can go out there and do our jobs and win the game, and it's no different this weekend.
Well, I assume, obviously, that everyone, as a fan, as a member of the team, everyone involved does expect a win in this one. And I think that we, from second to seventh, that is something that's in the stands, but in the standings, but it doesn't really matter on the game day. So it's going to come down to, that focus and everything that you have just talked about. So we don't want to keep you for too much longer. We want to let you get back to training and everything. So the last thing I have to say is, if Neil Collins comes calling over the offseason, I would just tell him, it's a little bit sunnier in St. Pete, and he can keep it in Barnsley.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you, Lewis, for joining us. Like I said, we really appreciate having your perspective on here. It is, just as Carlos said, actually, it is, a lot of times easy to look at the players as robots. And, we kind of just expect you to go out there. And, when you've had a season like yours, that also provides us with another perspective to look at it from a human side, and not just what are you doing for me every weekend. So thank you for taking time out of your day to join us and explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, no, of course, anytime. And yeah, fingers crossed we get the win on Saturday, but all I can guarantee it is us as a group of players, we'll give everything for everyone and the fans, and us as a club, we'll give everything we have, and win or lose, that's all I can guarantee. So
great stuff. Thank you, Lewis.
Of course.
All right, and that should do it for tonight's episode with the Rowdies in mind. Now, we do have one more bit coming up with Kaylor Hodges. He is going to provide the Birmingham Legion perspective and what they expect to get out of the game, what they hope to get out of the game, all of that good stuff, obviously. Carlos, thank you for joining us, and we will obviously see you in a bit.
Another great episode, James. Have fun with Kaylor. I'm looking forward to hearing that as well.
All right. And everyone, we just wanted to say thank you for joining us this evening. Obviously, liking and subscribing is free, but if you think you need some new threads coming up, you can support this podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description, as per usual. And as per usual, we will have a promo code for 10% off everything in the store. So yeah, please do check it out. I think that you'll find something you like. And now we will get over to our interview. And here we are now to have our final guest on the show. It is someone who is giving us a perspective that we are really hoping to take on as Rowdies fans, because, we usually pay attention to the Rowdies every week, but we do not pay attention, for the most part, to the rest of the league and how they're doing. So thank you very much for coming on our show, Kaylor Hodges of the Hammering Down podcast and the USL show. I will say, you have a very broad perspective. Not only do you watch Birmingham Legion probably as much as we watch the Rowdies, but I assume for the USL show, you must try and throw in another USL game every now and then. So you've got that very wide perspective that we're looking for. And thanks so much.
I have watched, first off, thank you for inviting me. But yeah, I have watched every single match either of the season, whether it be in full or in the condensed version that they put on YouTube. So every USL League One championship game, I have witnessed it for better or for worse. Some of them I wish I never did, including some of my Birmingham ones. But that's okay because we hold on to the happy memories and don't let go of the old, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. But among the happy memories, that's a good little segue, I guess. Among the happy memories for Birmingham Legion fans is not one, but both of the games against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Earlier in the season, the Birmingham Legion won 2-0. That was our home game. And then in the middle of July, back in Birmingham, you guys won 1-0. So not only have you guys taken all 6 points, we have not scored. We have only given up goals. So, basically, the first thing that I wanted to start off with, Kaylor, was based on the Birmingham Legion season that you have seen so far, was that an anomaly, or is that, does that kind of come down to the way Birmingham play? Is it just not like a good style for Tampa Bay as far as you can see?
Yes and no to all of it. Birmingham Legion have had a weird year. To the point that Legion swept the season series against Tampa Bay. They swept the season series against Lou City. They swept the season series against Memphis and a U.S. Open Cup game. Those are three teams above them in the table where they got, what's the math on that? Is that 12 points where they've walked away with all of it. But then they lose the teams that frankly they shouldn't. And I know a lot of people say that, well, you should never lost them, but that's like kind of Legion's MO. what beat Tampa Bay before, and it was really apparent in the first game, the 2-0 win, was the holding midfield for Birmingham Legion, where they had Anderson Asiadu and Matthew Corcoran. Now, Matthew Corcoran is U.S. youth national team, has started two of the U17 matches where they played really, really well. Our version of a Fidel Barajas, if you will, over at Charleston, very good central midfielder who is not long for this league. It's going to be sold for a lot of money. The other half of that pairing is Anderson Asiadu, which while on the roster is no longer with the club. So
gotcha.
How much playing time Matthew Corcoran is going to get, because they're having to focus on, frankly, him going with the World Cup and focusing on youth 17 stuff. How much focus are they going to be putting on that? What are they going to be doing with that? Cause they can't stunt his growth, but they also got to focus on the team. Anderson Asiadu is not here anymore. Your other holding midfield options are Mikey Lopez, who got hurt against Memphis, and we haven't seen him since, which leaves one guy to play central defensive midfield. And that's one that person that I think every Rowdy fan knows if they've been around the league for a while, which is Enzo Martinez.
Right.
And while Enzo is a fantastic player, and I think he is good at that role, I think that is a good role for him. When you're facing off against the Rowdies, when you're having to deal with the Lewis Hilton, when you're having to deal with the JJ Williams, when you're having to deal with the Cal Jennings, when you're having to eventually now Leo Fernandez, when you're dealing with these players, having only one holding midfielder, it's just not going to get the job done, especially if that holding midfielder would rather be playing central attacking mid.
Yeah. That's all very interesting. Now I will just go ahead and state my ignorance here. I did not realize that Anderson Asiadu had stepped away from the team. I knew that Matthew Corcoran had been called up to the youth national team because, frankly, I follow the youth national teams way too closely. But, he was an extremely impressive part of pretty much every Birmingham game that I saw, both of ours, but a couple of other ones where I thought that he is, like you said, Fidel Barajas. These are two players who are going to be, as soon as they hit 18, I'm assuming that some European team is going to come calling, paying, possibly Josh Winder numbers for these guys. But at the same time, I did not know that about Asiadu. So Corcoran has the World Cup coming up, as you stated. That starts
in later on in November. So hopefully, obviously, for your guys' sake, he will still be around. But could you explain a little bit more about Anderson Esiedu?
So the reason you didn't know is because the club never said anything. It's been one of those very quietly, it just sort of happened. And there's a lot of details that are out there, but nothing that, frankly, should be publicized.
I see.
Those kinds of things. But yeah, Anderson was the lifeblood for fans of this club, right? And he brought this grit for Tampa Bay fans who are like, who's Anderson Esiedu? You know, the guy that was about 5'6" on a good day that was just a little ball of steel, and that was him. As our former striker for Legion, Eddie Horvat from Croatia, gave him the nickname the Little Tank, and that one kind of stuck ever since. No longer here. And Mikey Lopez has been in the league for a long time, 2016 MLS Rookie of the Year. And second ever Legion signing, has been here since legitimately day one. He'll hurt. We don't know how much he's going to play. We would love to see him play, but we don't know how much he's going to play. Mm-hmm. And it's completely changed the system from a 4-2-3-1, which is what we know as Tommy Sohn ball. So really more of a 4-1-4-1, which I think is better for this club. I think for Legion purposes, I think that's the best thing that they could be doing, and frankly, I think it's what they should have been doing all year long. That said, I think it's the one thing you cannot do against Tampa Bay.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, explain your perspective to me there, how you think that so with the situation that Birmingham have, as far as you see it, what does Birmingham need to do to win this game? You know, Rowdy's fans are all going to have in their head what we expect they need to do and this and that, but what does Birmingham, under these circumstances, have to do to make sure that this is a third win for them in 2023?
I think for Birmingham, you're looking at center back pairing that could be interesting. You don't know if you're getting Jake Roof and Alex Crenali, or if you're getting Captain Famuel Kavita or Alex Crenali. Jake Roof is a fullback by trade, but is a very competent center back. He's not someone I worry about as center back. I actually think it's his better role, but you're losing that center back pairing you had all year long.
Yeah.
So because of that, especially against this Tampa Bay team where Cal Jennings, JJ Williams, former Legion player, are running hot, like ridiculously hot, you need to be strong in the middle, because every time I watch a Tampa Bay game, it feels like at least twice a game it turns into Cal Jennings down there somewhere, just lump it over the top. Cal Jennings will get there, and it's worked a lot of times. That feels like it. And while Tampa Bay can play pretty football, Cal Jennings can also just force feed it down your throat a little bit.
Could just do it on his own sometimes.
Yeah. And if you have an uncomfortable center back pairing, which you're not used to, plus less defensive midfield help, I think you're looking at starting someone who's going to be dropping deeper, playing essentially a third center back. I think you're possibly looking at a Moses Mensah playing a third center back letting Colin Smith kind of just be a winger, and hoping that Enzo Martinez can kind of clean up the scraps along the way. You have to be solid through the middle. I think as much as an awful thing it sounds like if you're a Birmingham Legion fan, because all of your strength is in your wings, if we're being brutally honest, I think you kind of have to concede some space to Jake LaCava and Antley. I think you have to say, yes, you are allowed to have the wings. You will not beat us in the middle. Because in all reality, you're dealing with an Alex Crenali who is 6'6". And yeah, he has to go against JJ Williams, but also he went toe-to-toe with JJ Williams in practice every single day for 2 years.
That's true.
He knows how to do that. So I think you say you can have the wings. Those are fine. Float crosses all you want. We trust our goalkeeper to come and get it. We trust our center backs to head it away. We are not letting you take the middle.
Okay, that's a good perspective. Along those same lines, when it comes to players who are in or out, I have noticed when going through and preparing, you know, our own notes and our own preview, the goalkeeping situation has possibly been a little bit in flux. Matt Van Okel was, as far as I'm aware, the usual starter, but I saw Trevor Spangenberg has started quite a few games recently. So is that down to injury? Is that down to choice? What do you know of there?
Injury, mostly, but this is where I have to walk a fine line. I think that Trevor's the right choice.
Okay.
I love Matt. Matt has been here since day one. He is a guy that has become a local legend. I mean, he cannot go anywhere without, you know, being recognized. I mean, hey, even Tampa Bay has seen some iconic Matt Van Okkel. He was the guy that looked like Mr. Eggman a couple years ago in the playoff game. He's kind of a folk legend of his own right. But this year, I think when Legion have played best, Trevor Spangenberg was in that. And it's a little unfair because sometimes the team just got hot and he just happened to be there. But also on that U.S. Open Cup run, he was in net almost the entire time. And I think that Trevor is different. And I think that Matt Van Okkel is a more of a brute force physical goalkeeper, which you might need for a J.J. Williams.
Possibly. But
And he's an incredible shot stopper. But I also feel like Trevor has had less moments where you're just, especially in distribution, right? Trevor has been a better distributor this year. Matt, and I think in this kind of game, your distribution, how quickly can you get it out? Are you going to wait for just a bump it long? Because, yeah, Matt Van Okkel can kick it a country mile, but can he do it fast enough for someone to get on the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd rather have Trevor.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up specifically, because in the second game in July that the Rowdies went up to Birmingham, I know that the goal scored, Matt Van Okkel just punted it long into space for Prosper Kassim, who ended up, you know, he beat, I think it was Jake Aramon that he beat for pace, and then he crossed it back to Enzo Martinez. But, you know, that could all obviously be a one-off overall, and you would have the better perspective on that. But the other thing that I wanted to say is, so when I was, like I said, when I was doing all those notes that we have our own show that we did a little bit before this recording that will be mashed up together. So listeners, you get a little behind the scenes there, but I'm also putting together the preview article for that. And I did highlight, especially for our two games, the central midfield, Anderson Asiedu and Matthew Corcoran. I cannot speak enough about how, I cannot speak how highly I think of Matthew Corcoran as a young player. That FC Dallas Academy with Colin Smith and Corcoran, and obviously all the other players they produced, is amazing. But so what you expect to see then is, I'm assuming, Matthew Corcoran sitting as the lone central midfielder, and then Enzo Martinez dropping deeper to help him out. Is that correct? And then, you know, what does that give you on the wings? Is that leading you to Kassim and Pasher, and then maybe Agudelo dropping deeper, or how do you see that?
It's hard. I don't know how else to say it besides it's hard.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if this is a match where Corcoran maybe starts on the bench and Enzo Martinez is playing deep with Diba Nwigbo over on the left, Oscar Kassim on the right, Tyler Pasher and Juan Agudelo in the middle. Juan Agudelo, which, yes, that one. You don't think of him as central midfielder or central attacking midfielder, but I've been screaming all year long. I think that's his best role. He's incredible with hold-up play.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the pace that he used to, and his passing is good. He can also win the ball in the midfield. He's one of the few bodies that in the midfield, I want him going, you know, chest to back to a guy like JJ or a Forrest Lasso. He's someone that can really be physical. He's one that I like there. If they start Enzo and Matthew together, I think that it is, I think you're probably sitting with maybe even Enzo going out wide and floating into that area, or he goes into the middle, Tyler Pasher goes out to a wing, Diba Nwigbo sits on the bench. I think that might be what you're looking at. Now, who goes up top, Nico Brett or maybe Tabor Teteka Preston? Whether you're looking at him, those two, they've been kind of switching striker duty. Matthew has not been starting again, World Cup. I think the best lineup has Matthew in it. But if you want the maximum amount of scoring potential, which this team can do in buckets, if they're on their game, I think that's what you do. But are you worried if you're Birmingham, are you going to try to go defensive, a little bit more defensive, start Matthew, or are you just going to try to get a goal early and hold? Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just from my perspective, I think that the Rowdies have certainly shown a fair bit of defensive, a fair bit of vulnerability at the back this season. I think that we have had more than our usual fair share, let's say, of silly mistakes and, you know, just lapses in concentration that have led to goals. There have certainly been plays where I think, you know, a team has had a very good buildup in the lead up to whatever, you know, goal that was scored. But at the same time, I have seen plenty of goals this season where it's just, you know, smacking your head and you're like, how does that even happen for this team? So, you know, maybe a goals first as opposed to a defense first, you know, that kind of idea in mind might be better. But obviously that is going to be up to the coaching staff of both teams to try and figure out how to neutralize each other. But if there's not anything else from your side, Kaylor, you know, I think that we've, as Rowdies fans, we've got most of what, you know, we're trying to look at for this team and for this game specifically. Do you have anything else you want to throw out there for us?
I mean, I'm really excited to see how this team works, because if you've followed the USL around for a while, you recognize guys like Tyler Pascher, who with Indy comes around, you recognize that kind of guy. Nico Brett's done it for a long time. You probably recognize the name. Enzo Martinez lives in infamy in some ways. Although, I think if you're looking for the big-time moment, the big-time player, I think it's Prosper Kassim. Mm-hmm. Prosper Kassim has been in the middle of every single big moment in Legion history. If you can think of, you know, first goal in Legion history, first home goal in Legion history, if you think about first playoff goal in Legion history, if you're thinking about first goal against an MLS team in Legion history, if you're thinking about anything in Legion history, Prosper Kassim has his golden left boot all over it. And I think that if it comes to the dying minutes and he's on the pitch and it's a 0-0, I think that's the guy you got to fear. I know everybody's going to say it's going to be your Enzo, your Tyler, your Nico, your Juan Agudelo, these kind of players. I think he's the guy. I think he's the guy you truly fear, because he just has a knack for the magic. Something else, I think that when you have your attacking trio that you've seen in the past with Tampa Bay of Cal Jennings, JJ Williams, Dennis, right? You have that attacking trio. I think that this team, when they run at something like that, I think this Legion team plays better than when there's just a lone striker for some reason. I think for some reason they hunker down, they focus, they communicate better. Meanwhile, if there's just one, if they decide, this Tampa Bay team decide, hey, we're going to kind of do what we did against Tampa, which is you have JJ, you have Cal Jennings, but really it's JJ's there and then Cal Jennings is bombing up. He's the one that you're focusing on. I think that's where Legion struggle. So if they decide to go full attacking because they're at home, they want to really put the, you know, put the foot on the throat all early, I think Tampa Bay could be really behind the eight ball. And this is where Legion go down 3-0 within 30 minutes. And I'm a total idiot, but that's been my perspective all year long.
Well, as they say, with soccer being such a low scoring sport, it's very easy for weird and crazy outcomes like that to come about. I mean, just look at the U.S. men's national team last night, which I certainly did not expect. But yeah, well, all right. Now, Kaylor, I've got to do the thing that you hate possibly the most about this. And I know you know it's coming, though. Yeah. I will have to ask you for your prediction for this game now that we've had you on, because we don't have a guest spot just yet. And we usually do each week.
I hope everybody has a good time, first off. all seriousness, if you look at the USL predictions, I said Legion, but you can't read it, but a little behind the scenes, I literally put in our Discord channel, I did it so I could feel something for once. I'm taking Tampa. I think that winning two games, especially losing 2-0 at home. This Tampa Bay team probably wants to beat Legion probably more than anybody else right now, because they're one of the few teams that took both matches from them. And on top of that, I think if that Legion go with this 4-1-4-1, I think that could be the death blow to this Legion season, because while I think it's the best formation for Legion, I think it's also the best thing that Tampa Bay can take advantage of. I can just see them completely overrunning that midfield, especially if it's a Tyler Pascher, Juan Agudelo, rocking that midfield. It's not exactly the most defensive-minded players.
Sure.
So I think that while it works well for Legion, I think that it's the one thing that Tampa Bay would love to see come out. Now, if they come out with a 4-2-3-1, I think we might be having a different conversation. But just basing everything on recency, I think this is shaping up for Tampa Bay. That said, both playoff games that they've played against each other have been tight.
Yes.
They have just been two wonder goals. I mean, I remember the 2021 goal was between, I think, Alex Cronale's legs and goes into the bottom corner. I mean, it was a ridiculous finish that these two teams can be separated. And that's been kind of the story for the entirety of Legion and Tampa Bay being in the league together. So they just cannot be separated, it feels like, at times. And I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think it's just one of those matches, but Owling, you know, imagine Owling, you have to back the Rowdies.
So what's the score?
I want to, my heart says 2-1.
Okay. Okay. So 2-1 Rowdies win, that is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I hate to hold you to it, but we will put that on our predictions before the game comes out. So that will be on Twitter along with your name attached to it. If you have to hide yourself from Legion fans, just prepare for that.
They probably think most Legion fans are being very pessimistic about this game anyway, so they're probably kind of along with me.
Gotcha. Well, Kaylor, you have taken some time out of your busy day, and we really appreciate that. You obviously do a lot of soccer-related stuff, including, like you said, recording last night. So we appreciate you taking even more time to do this and joining us. Thank you. Please plug both the shows that you're on, maybe some other ones, any other projects that you're working on.
Yeah. So you, if you recognize me, you recognize me from the USL show. So check that out every Tuesday night. We are working on a really cool off-season project. I'm also just going to float this in the ether, so we have to be held liable. We're planning a series, essentially a longer like docu-series on the history of the USL every season, and the full history of the USL for people who don't know it. So we're excited about that. Hammering Down, which is all about soccer in Birmingham. I had a ton of fun with this season, especially with the women's team. So if you want to hear some interviews from the women's team, and James himself from much earlier this season, if you want to hear that. And every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, the USL show is going to be on Soccer Down Here. And we're going to be talking with the guys over there. And it's a ton of fun. It's a fun chat. They mainly are Atlanta United, but they were also the color commentators for ATL2. So they know the USL. And they do everything in soccer, well, frankly, down here in the dirty South, which, yes, Tampa is still a part of. You can't escape us. it's a ton of fun. Check that out. I think it's at 10 o'clock. And check out the podcast if you don't catch it live.
That's perfect. I didn't know all of that was coming up. That's really cool. I do listen to the USL show, but that's an awesome project coming up. I'm personally looking forward to that. So yeah, everyone, please do subscribe to that, obviously. And as well, if you could, please follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and like and subscribe to our podcast. We are also on YouTube, but if you just want to listen to us, we are on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, pretty much everywhere that you want to listen. So Carlos, Lewis Hilton, Kaylor Hodges, thank you all for joining us tonight. It was a busy night, but it was a great one. I hope that this game goes very well for everyone, as you said, but hopefully also for us.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.